We look into the Word of God. We have a little something from the Lord. But need the Lord to help us to work with this. This is a general... Well, this is one of the oldest messages, I guess, there is, in a way. How many of you was around here in 1978? How many of you remember the tent meeting here in 1978? How many can tell me what else was going on around here besides the tent meeting out here? How many of you remember the three deer that was standing outside the tabernacle or outside the tent getting a lot more attention than the preacher in the pulpit that night? First time I come here was in 1978. And I'm not exactly sure what year it started. If anybody can tell me that, I appreciate it. It started before that, but I don't know exactly when. But Brother Sammons started it. Desired people to come out to West Virginia and be in meeting. And the first thing that they done, they had a tent meeting or two, but in 1978, they started the chapel. They poured the basement during that meeting, and some of us helped him work in that basement, get that all done. I don't remember what Brother Mark done, but I know the rest of us was working, getting the cement moved around and so forth. And it all started, as far as the chapel started that year. So that's been quite a few years ago. So this meeting's been going on probably 45, 46 years now, I would say, maybe longer. And it has been a blessing to a multitude of people. Anybody got a blessing around here? I'm talking about down through the years. I'm not talking about just right now. But how many of you have got a blessing to be in Green Bank in these services right here down through the years? I know some of you have been here quite a few times because I've seen you. I've not been here every year, but I have been here a number of years. And since I think 2015, I've been here every year except last year when I didn't have service. All right, let's go to Matthew 11. And again, we desire your prayers. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now tonight, I've got some fresh inspiration on these scriptures here. And the bottom line is, there's a lot of people, well, matter of fact, there's probably very few people that don't say come. There's people that have invited you to come to their house, said come on over for dinner, or come over and we'll go somewhere. And they'll get it all set and your company will come and you'll feed them or you'll do whatever. Well, it goes from individuals to things like this. Brother Salmon said, come on down to West Virginia. Let's have a meeting down there. So here people come. I think it far exceeded his expectations because the way everything went, I think it was greater than what Brother Mark first had. But that tent wouldn't hold, I don't know, Brother Mansell, probably half this. No, it wouldn't even hold half this crowd, I don't get. But there was a number of people here. It was pretty full, best I remember. And so he invited Brother Philip and the ones at Guthrie, Fresno, California, Pacoima, California, Dallas, Texas, they say, come see us. Come down to the meeting we're going to have. They want you to come. They're interested in having your presence. They want your input. They want your prayers. They want your singing and so forth. They want the special singing. They say, come. We want to have you with us. All right, then you have another set. You have businesses. About every business has probably used the term, come see me. Come see us. Come on down to 3rd and Maiden, Oklahoma City. We'll sell you a brand new cell phone. Or come on up here to Middle Shawnee and we'll sell you an iron or an ironing board or something like that. They say come. Walmart's interested in it. Listen, folks, if people didn't come when they were invited to become, these big millionaires wouldn't be millionaires. They wouldn't be the rich they are. Sam Walton wouldn't be the multi-billionaire that he was. His children wouldn't have vast riches and own lots of property and so forth. It wouldn't happen. But because people hang out a shingle, so to speak, and they tell you, I want you to come. I want you to come see us and be with us. We've got something here for everybody. This is not a dime and ten and dime, not a ten, a 5 and 10 cent store anymore. This is a full-fledged, huge store. I'll be honest with you, I like to go to Aldi's better than I do to Walmart because I can't get tired of walking from one end to the other. I'd start out over here with something, got to go to the food over there. Then I got to go front and back. And we've got a pretty good Walmart, pretty good sized Walmart. And so it takes a little bit of time. And like my daughter said, Dad said, I can go in and out of Aldi's just about like that. Well, I told Molly the other day, I said, I'll be right out. What I forgot was that what I didn't know was when I went into Aldi's, they'd change things around. I couldn't find anything. I had to ask questions. Where's it at? But still Aldi's, Walmart, Sears, different, well, all businesses are interested in you coming. All right? What about the, say you had a rich person in your neighborhood, living in a nice big mansion. Called you up on the phone, give you an invitation for dinner. Most everybody would go. Most everybody would be interested in going and seeing his house and being there. And we was in Alabama, spent the night the other night, and come out there, and there's, we're going south on 65, where you come out from Marshall Melly, there's a big white mansion. There's a pond. There's a big old barn up there. So I called Marshall. I was talking to Molly about it, and I said, I wonder who owns this. Well, he told me. I thought he would know, but I didn't know for sure. And he said, yeah, the Hallmark family owns it. And we talked about it for a little bit. I don't know about you, but I'd love to tour that house. I have enough janitor in me and enough carpenter in me that I like to see the insides of these things. I want to look them over. I want to see the woodwork. I want to see if there's dust on anything. I want to check it out, see. But a rich man calls you and says, I want you to come over. Most people would go. Or a senator, congressman, a governor. They would say, come. You'd go. Most everybody would. Now, if you despise the person, you might not. But overall, you would want to go. Well, what would be one of the highest invitations that you and I could get? Who would be somebody that would just flat floor you if they called you and said, this is so-and-so, and we want you to come see us? The President of the United States. And there have been people that have gotten calls from the White House itself, and they didn't realize, or they didn't really, couldn't really believe they were getting a call. But they said, we want you to come. We want you to come be with us. That would be a high, prestigious call in my way of thinking. And I would look at it and think about it, and more than likely, if I could, especially if it's a president that I admired, so to speak, I'd be on a jet going to see them. If I could take Molly and Paige, I'd take them with them too. Take them up there. But people call people and they say, come. About a year ago, maybe, if it's been that long, George Clooney. How many of you know who George Clooney is? He's an actor. And he's a very, very famous actor. He's a very, very wealthy, wealthy man. He called 14 of his best friends. And he said, I want you to come over and be with wife. And I said, I want to feed you a steak dinner. Now, folks, if anybody will tweak my ears real quick, it's a steak dinner. I passed a lot of things up just to get a steak dinner. So they showed up. Mr. George Clooney decided he wanted to help them out a little bit. So he went and bought 4 briefcases and filled them with $1 million apiece. He had the briefcases in the corner of the living room. They come in, they had their meal, steak, potatoes, whatever. And then him and the wife said, come on into our living room and let's sit down, let's visit a while. And then after a point, he went over and he started getting these briefcases and he handed one to each person. Said, now when I get them all handed out, I want you to open this briefcase. And they did, and inside was filled $1 million in that briefcase. That would be a nice invitation to go see, wouldn't it? Well, there's another invitation. And that's the one I'm reading here. Come unto me. George Clooney can do a lot. The president can do a lot. Jeff Bezos and all the others that are out there that are billionaires, multi-billionaires and so forth, they can do a lot. But listen, folks, none of them can get close to this invitation right here. We have the highest invitation in the land. That's a general invitation for everybody in here, everybody around the world, no matter whether you're young or old or who you are. It said, come unto me all, ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll help you. I'll give you rest. Listen, folks, tonight, when I first read that many, many years ago, I thought that applied to sinners only. But I've come to the conclusion by the understanding of God out of heaven. This is an invitation to everybody in here, no matter where you're at, what you're doing, how old you are, what part of the country you come from, no matter what your race is. The bottom line, he says, I want you to come unto me. And listen, folks, this invitation is so great and so powerful that when you come to Jesus, if you'll spend some time with him, praise God, he can do for you what nobody else can do tonight, praise God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. There may be some here that's laboring tonight. The devil wants you to labor under whatever. And I'm not talking about solely sin here, but the devil wants to get people in depression. The devil wants to get people discouraged. The devil wants to get people down under all kind of things and make them think they're not worth anything and work them over, and they get into a laboring mode. And there they are. I'm going to tell you tonight there's one to go to, and his name is Jesus Christ. Praise God. He's given an invitation. I've been awed by God in the last number of months on the very fact of the awesomeness of God. And the fact that he comes down and he's willing to spend time with you and I. He's willing to spend time to help us, to bless us. You say, well, we're God's creation. We are. But listen, folks, he can put us down here and he can stay up there. He doesn't have to come down and bless us. But he loves us so much. He gives so much. He wants to come down and help you and I no matter what the situation might be. Come unto me. Jesus is saying here, come unto me. All ye, everyone that is laboring, that's heavy laden. And he said, and I will give you rest. Oh, tonight, there's not anything that Jesus can't handle. There's another scripture that I preached a lot out of through the years, 11th chapter of Mark, and the end of it down here. And Jesus makes a statement here. He said, what will thou, blind Bartimaeus, maybe it's the 10th chapter of Mark. 10th chapter of Mark, I guess. Blind Bartimaeus was in the highway outside sitting there, and Jesus and his disciples were coming by. He found out who it was, and he began to cry, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he goes on down there. They tried to hush him up. Listen, folks, tonight, if you and I start looking to God, the first thing the devil's going to do, maybe mom and daddy, I've had people say that their children got saved. The parents didn't want them going to meeting. I had a man one time make a statement. He told the pastor of the congregation up north, he said, my child is going to meeting there. He said, I'm going to pour a corn picker across the driveway where you guys can't even get into the chapel. Okay. Well, we got a God in heaven. We got Christ on the sitting on the right hand of God. And he never did pull that corn picker in there. We went and come out of that meeting. And we done what the Lord wanted us to do as a body. And we enjoyed ourselves. But the blind Bartimaeus here, he's got a problem. Listen, folks, back there, they didn't have things like they've got it today. People cannot have eye transplants, and they can have cataracts taken off, and they can do all kind of things with the eyes and help them. But blind Bartimaeus was blind. He couldn't see. Listen, you may be having a physical problem tonight, or you might be having a spiritual problem. And the blind Bartimaeus said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody trying to shut him up. Listen, somebody trying to quiet you down tonight, I'm going to tell you to cry the more, look the more, reach out the more. It doesn't matter what it is. Say, Lord, Jesus, have mercy on me. And then he called him and he commanded him to come. So he come And he got up there and Jesus answered and said unto him, What will thou that I should do unto thee? Now I don't know about you folks, but that is the most powerful statement in the Bible right there. There's only one person, and his name is Jesus, that can make that kind of statement. The rich people can do a lot. The president can do a lot. But they cannot save your soul. They cannot lift the burden. They cannot wash you in the blood. And they can't heal your body. And there are multitudes of psychological and different things that they can't do that Jesus Christ can do and do it instantly. Praise God. Listen tonight. This is a place that you and I come. We come to get good to our souls. It's to glorify God. But the bottom line is you're here to get help to your soul if you need it. And that's what we're interested in. What will thou? What do you need, blind Bartimaeus? And he said, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now listen, folks, sometimes he made some mud, wasn't it, and put it on their eyes, and he done different things. But this way, blind Bartimaeus had faith, and Jesus could feel that faith, so to speak. And he reached out, he said, Go thy way, blind Bartimaeus. Your faith has made thee whole. Listen, folks, tonight, I want to encourage you to have faith in God. I want you to have faith in God that he can do. The devil will make you think he can't help you. The devil will tell you he don't love you. The devil will tell you, well, he's not interested in you. But I got news for you tonight. Jesus Christ the righteous is interested and loves everybody. He wants to help everybody. He's interested in helping everybody. And if you and I will reach out to him tonight, he will bless us in every way that we need. What do you need? What is your needs tonight? He says, Come unto me. I want to help you. Now then, George Clooney didn't tell them what he was going to give them. He didn't tell them that I'm going to give you a briefcase with $1 million in it. One person made a statement or wrote a statement. He made the statement, he said, I'd be a little upset if I was his 15th best friend. He stopped at 14. If I'd been his 15th best friend, I might not have been too happy about that. But, it wouldn't have bothered me really, but the bottom line is, he had a point. Listen, folks, Jesus don't stop at 14. He don't stop at 1,400. He don't stop at 14,000. He said, Whosoever will, let him come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. I want to help you. I want to bless you. I want to do things for you. Come unto me. If you've got a load, if you've got problems or troubles, listen, the only place to go is to Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I went home one night, and I don't know why I was so crushed. This had been many moons ago, and I come in, and I was living there by myself. I'd moved out, Mom and Daddy's when I was 25, and living in my own home and on my own property. And I come in that night, and I was crushed to tears. And I got down, and I started to pray, and I couldn't pray. All I could do was weep and weep and weep. And he read every tear. And he saw down in my heart, and he knew what to do, and he gave me a touch, and I come up from there blessed. Oh, tonight, come unto me, all ye that labor. Listen, folks, you may not get help tonight, but I want to plead with you to consider and weigh every message, every song, everything that's going to be happening in this meeting. Listen, folks, we come here not only to just socialize, but I come out here for business. I'm not here to just sit around and talk to people all the time. I got to talk to God. Brother Marty does, Brother Chad does, and the other ministers that are going to be here. We're here for a reason. You are too. You're here for a reason. We want you to get a blessing. God wants you to get a blessing. But we're going to have to get our hearts in tune. I want to ask you to pray for every service. One sister told my wife one time, she had been listening to a radio deal, Christian radio deal on Sunday morning. And the man that was the announcer or whatever, the disc jockey, he said, Have you prayed for your service where you're going to go to church this morning? And she eased up to wife. She goes, I never thought about that. And I thought I'd said it enough in meeting that they'd know to pray for the service. But it never really rung in her mind to get up on Sunday morning and maybe start Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Listen, folks, when we show up here, there's one that comes along too, and his name's the devil. He don't want the singing. He don't want the preaching. He don't want you there. He doesn't want anything to happen that'll bless your soul and glorify God. You're going to need to pray. I am pleading with you tonight. I want to ask you, young people, middle-aged and old, I want you to pray to God that the Lord will bless every service of this meeting. I have told people over and over, down through the years, and I probably said it in the pulpit, that Green Bank has had as consistent of a good meeting as anybody in the country, and I've attended about all of them. They have a good meeting out here. That's the reason you're here. But listen, folks, if we don't pray it down, it ain't going to happen. Good meetings are prayed down. Souls getting saved are prayed down. Souls getting sanctified are prayed down. Listen, people getting healed is prayed down. Listen today, we need to do some praying. We need to do some fasting if you can fast. We need to seek God. He said, come unto me. Listen, folks, it can be anywhere at any time that you come to the Almighty Jesus Christ and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I need your help. I want you to bless the service. Well, I hope that sister took that admonition from that radio DJ that morning, and I hope she's still praying for the Sunday morning services and the Sunday night services where she lives. Hopefully she is, maybe Wednesday night too. But he said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. Now this is an invitation to yoke up young people, middle-aged and old. This is an invitation to get connected with Christ, to get a heartfelt, clean relationship, you and him together, pulling and working. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn what I've got for you. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Listen, folks, the Lord wants people to get connected with him. He's the greatest teacher that ever has lived. He can teach you anything, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what your IQ may be. The bottom line, Jesus Christ can get on any level and take any scripture or anything you need, and he can teach you about it. One time many years ago, I was working on my house. I don't know what year this was, I moved in 78. So somewhere in 77, maybe early 78, I moved in the spring, if I remember right. And I had a carpenter problem. I didn't know what to do. I know a little bit more about carpentry now than I did then. But I couldn't figure out how to do it. And I was laying in bed one morning, and I was thinking and meditating, and the Lord just come down and visited me, and he said, here's what you need to do. And I thought about it a minute, and it come together in my mind. I thought, yes, that's it. And when I'd done it, it worked perfect. I'm going to tell you, Jesus can get on any level. He can help you with anything. And I want to tell you tonight, when you come to him and you said, the devil may say, well, the Lord don't want to be bothered with a headache, or the Lord don't want to be bothered with a small problem, or the Lord don't want to be bothered because you don't have enough money to pay for food. Why, that's so little. Don't bother Jesus. You bother him with anything. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to pray with him. He wants you to spend time with him. No matter what it is, come unto me. Learn of me. Take my yoke. Get connected up with me real close. For I'm meek and lowly. Listen, folks, Jesus is not a proud, high, and holy. He is one that got down the lowest that a man could get to bring together a plan of salvation that is the greatest plan that's ever been. And it's for everybody, no matter where they live. You shall find rest. Oh, tonight you shall find rest unto your souls. Aren't you tired of the hard places? Aren't you tired of bearing the hard yoke and the hard places? The Lord wants to give you rest. Rest to your soul. Rest to your mind. Rest to your heart. He wants to take you and give you something where you can lay down with peace and joy at night and go to sleep. Not worry about dying. Not worry about getting killed. Not worry about dying in a car wreck. He wants to give you something that nobody else can give you, praise God. find rest, find peace, find joy. He wants to give that to you tonight. All right, let's go to Isaiah 1 and 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Come now, let us reason together. Great minds come together a lot of times. I guess it's still going on, but several of the allies, I guess you'd say it, is having a G7 gathering over in England at a certain place. I'm not sure where that's at, but it's in England somewhere. And they're coming together, and I don't know what all they're discussing. I read little bits and pieces here and there. But they're great minds of this president and that president and this leader and that person coming together to try to help, hopefully, the world. Not just the U.S. or England or Italy or whatever. They're trying to help the whole world. Listen, folks, today, Jesus wants to come to you. And He wants you to come to Him. And He said, let us reason together. Come now. Come now and reason. Listen, the Lord wants to work with us. Somebody said, well, I don't want the Lord to do this, or I don't want that, or whatever. Listen, folks, we just need to humble our hearts down to the bottom and say, Lord, have mercy and help me to know what to do. I want to help. I want to serve you. I want to be blessed by you. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want anything that you want me to have. Come now, let us reason together. I want to have you teach me, work with me, bless me. But you know, sometimes we get this idea in our mind, well, I don't want to do that. I didn't particularly want to get saved when I got saved neither. I've been under conviction for months. A man come by, named Brother Lloyd Eck, and he spent 3 hours with me one night in my, well, the place where I worked. It wasn't my business. But I worked there, and later that man set me up in business, and we were a partnership. But I was there at Danny's that night, and Lloyd come in and we shut everything down, and he begged and he pleaded and he done everything he could do to get me to pray. He said, he in frustration, he said, Carl, I believe if you just humble your heart and get down here and ask the Lord to forgive you, He would do it. Now, and I never asked him if he had understanding of my convictions. I don't know. I don't know if he really realized how much conviction I'd had. I don't know that. Maybe he did. But anyway, he done everything he could do to get me saved that night. At about midnight, I was ready to go. So, I got in the car, he got in his car, and we both lived north of where I was working at, so we headed up the interstate. But I thank God that he got in the car with me. He sat on that side, and listen, folks, when God wants you bad enough, He's going to do everything He can do to get you. And he began to talk to me. I wanted to be a multimillionaire. Wanted to have the big houses, the pretty wives, the cars and the trucks and the lands. I'd love to have a place maybe out here with a mountain on it, 200 or 300 acres, a big old mansion, and an airstrip where I could fly in and fly out. I'd come out in the spring. I'd come out in the summer. And I'd come out in the fall. But when the snow's on the ground, I'd be staying home where it's different. I wanted that kind of life. That's what Jeff has. That's what rich people have. But the Lord come along that night and He said, son, He said, you can be ever so rich. He said, I can take it away in a moment's time. I can take it all from you. And then He let me know that I'm young. I was 18 at the time. He let me know. He said, well, tell you something. You can die at 18. 19 or 20. Listen, young people, you do not have a lease on life, so to speak. God can allow you to be taken out. And some people say, why does young people have to die? We've been in services and funerals, I mean, where young people have gone out into eternity. Some of them's been killed, and it's been a great hurt to the family and to the church. Great size funerals. I had to miss two of them because I was in a revival meeting up north. When Jan and Colleen got killed, I wanted to be there so bad I hurt. But the Lord told me, I want you to go north and do what you're supposed to do. People, you do not have a lease on life. Young people, you don't. Old people, you don't. Well, I'm getting old. Well, I'm getting older too now. I ain't 50 years old anymore. And the bottom line is, we're going to step out of here one of these days. And he told me that night. Well, seemed like he showed me one other thing, and I went to the house. And I got in, I got ready for bed, and I climbed in bed, and I laid down, and I couldn't go to sleep. The conviction was there. The dealings was there. And I was getting about, if you want to use the word, tired of it. And I decided the best thing to do is get out of bed and see if I could get some sleep. So I went to the Lord and I started praying and I started begging for mercy. And he saved me there by myself that night. And I got news for you. I wouldn't trade it for all the houses and all the land in West Virginia, Brother Mansell. All the money in the banks. I wouldn't trade it for anything, praise God. It has been a blessing to me. He has done things for me and helped me and touched me and healed me and all kinds of things he's done for me. For almost 50 years now, I've been saved. The Lord wants to do that for you. And he wants you to come and he wants to reason with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to let you know what your sin is or what your lack is of sanctification or whatever it might be. The Lord dealing. Come now, let us reason together. Let me talk to you. Listen, this is not the president or rich person. This is Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's wanting to reason. He wanting to spend time with you. Listen, you talk about pick a mind. Ain't no mind greater than that mind. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You know, sometimes I sit around with people, or I'm with them, like in Carpenters, you got the Gillenbecks, you've got the Gibsons, the Mitchells, and I get around them, and when I used to work that install work, there'd be times I'd want to pick their minds. I want to know what about this and this. I think my daughters got embarrassed because I'd ask questions and I'd look at it and maybe I'd figured it out, but I wanted to be sure I was right. I'm going to tell you what. Jesus wants you to be right and he knows how to help you be there. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet and though sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know what the difference is between scarlet and crimson? Scarlet is a double dyed. In other words, you can dye that twice, and it is so permeating and so solid that you can't clean it. You can't get the color out. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, crimson is a one time, and you can maybe do something with it. But he said, they should be white. No matter how stained, no matter how deep, no matter how messed up a person can be, no matter how deep in the gutter, rolling around in the muck and the mire, I'm going to tell you tonight, Jesus has the power to raise you up and out. He's got the power to save and redeem. He's got the power to deliver. He's got the power to do whatever you need him to do tonight. Come unto me. All you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Oh, I give you rest. Come unto me. Let us reason. Though your sins be as scarlet. Listen tonight, some of you here, maybe you're not bad sinners. Maybe you're just kind of like me. I wasn't what I call a bad sinner. I cussed a little bit. I'd stolen a little bit. Fussed a little bit. I didn't do a whole lot of bad stuff. But bless God, he saved my soul. And he helped me out of what I did do. He said, though they be as scarlet, no matter how bad it is, they shall be white as snow. Listen, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But said, if you be willing and obedient, there's a lot of people out there that don't want to be willing and obedient tonight. If you'll be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I will give you something wonderful. I will set you down at a good place. But if you refuse and rebel, Brother Marty, get me that scripture. It's in Proverbs about 27 maybe. It says that if you harden your neck, that's one of the old general's favorite scripture. If you harden your neck, you shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. But I'm not sure about the very first part. Listen tonight. What? If ye've often been proved, harden your neck, harden of the neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Okay, thank you. All right. There's a lot of people out there that the Lord had dealt with months, maybe off and on for years, and tried to get them, and they wouldn't move. They wouldn't budge. And he called and he called. Said, if you refuse and you rebel against God, you shall be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. This doesn't come from the president, or a king, or a queen, or a senator, or a congressman. This comes from God Almighty. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He will do what he says. His word is faithful. He is faithful. But the bottom line is, he's faithful on the good side, but he's also faithful on the wrong side. That if you and I refuse, if we push him off, if we turn him down, there's one day we'll reckon with that, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. We will deal with it one day. Some people say, well, I'll be all right. I had a person tell me all of my life, my mama, said, I have heard that there's going to be an end of time. But she said, son, I've never seen it yet. Well, mama's been dead since 2006, I believe it is. And the end of time hadn't come. But that don't mean it will not come, because the Lord said there would be a judgment day one day. All right, let's go to 7th chapter of Genesis. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast shall I take to thee by sevens, the male and the female. And of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air, sevens, the male and the female. Thou shalt to keep thy seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Now, Noah had been building an ark for what, 120 years, 125 years? Said he was a preacher of righteousness. Now, I could be wrong, but what I understand through the scriptures, the bottom line was the people were moving away from God, and that's what caused God to do what he did. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Man had begin to move away and marry this and do that. And so God said, I'm going to destroy the earth. Destroy mankind. So, he found Noah righteous before him in a generation. And he said, Noah, see, what does it say? He said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He said it grieved him. It repented the Lord. They made man. This is 6th chapter of Genesis on earth. It grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. And Noah made it. But God gave the call. Said, I want you to come. It's time now. Got it all done. He made it to the specs, exactly what God wanted it to made by. Because God knew how many animals were going to be on there. He knew how many humans were going to be in there. So he set everything in place, and Noah done it exactly like God said it to be. And then he said, come. What is the ark? An ark is a place of safety. When it started raining, Noah was in good shape. I have a we have, well, I still got them as far as that goes. We're saving them back for the grandchildren if Cynthia has room to keep them. Some children's storybooks, Bible storybooks. And in one of these, it has a picture. And this picture, it has the ark right out here. And has the animals coming up like this, being led by an angel, evidently, because you can't see anything, but the animals are coming two by two, seven by seven, and they're coming up, and they're making a turn, and they're going up there, and they're going right in the boat by themselves. And there's a man right over here standing, and he's looking at them, and then I believe he brings his head back, or it shows him. Anyway, you can see the look on the man's face, and it's a look of horror. God is doing something that this man was not expecting to be done. And he is there and he is shook. He is scared. That the rain's fixing to begin. They mocked Noah. They laughed at him. They picked at him. They railed at him. They called him a fool probably. They done everything they wanted to do. But now then Noah has the call to come in. And Noah's in a place, going to be in a place of safety. They had never seen it rain. It had only been watered by the dew. And they had never seen it. But just because we don't see something doesn't mean it won't happen. So, it filled it up. Oh, I listened to a song today. The haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. Listen to the Bill Gaither and him. No, it was somebody else sang it, but they was Bill Gaither and Gloria, and some of them was together there. And they were singing that. I've anchored my soul. Listen, folks, today, there's no better place to anchor your soul than in the old ship of Zion. Get on board, praise God. This world does not have anything to offer. This world is full of crime. It's full of deception and sin. It's full of all the bad things that you could ask for. The United States is not what it used to be 50 years ago. It's a place of horror. It's a place of bad things. And tonight, I want to beg you, listen, young people, middle-aged and old, it's time to anchor your soul in the haven of rest. Get on the old ship of Zion. Get in there. The Lord's saying, come. I want you to get on board. I want you to sail the seas of the good things, the blessing things, the glorious things. I want you to have what you can't have otherwise. Praise God. Listen, folks, there's no ship like the old ship of Zion. Come on board. What you need, the Lord's got it for you. All right, let's go to John. Let's move on down. Time's been flying. The Lord's added things in His message I didn't know He was going to talk about tonight. John, the 11th chapter. Talking about Lazarus. And I want about 3 or 4 scriptures here. John 11 and 40. He says here, He said, Jesus, talking to Martha here, I believe. And Jesus said, the nurse said, I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. And I knew that Thou hearest Me always. But because the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, his face bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him. Lazarus, come forth. Listen, folks, tonight Jesus is calling names individually. If you're dead in trespasses and sin tonight, if you're wallowing in the muck and the mire, if you're down there in a place where you don't need to be, I'm begging you to listen to the call. Come! This man was dead. He wasn't just a little dead. He was graveyard dead. Been dead 4 days, I believe. The Lord actually postponed his deal of coming. He knew about it. He knew that he was dying or died. This was one of his best friends. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, Jesus, they were very close. And most people had said, let's go at a moment's notice. And they'd climb in the car or on the mule or the donkey or in the chariot or walk. And they'd get there as quick as they can. My friend's in trouble. I want to go help them out. But Jesus said, no, we're going to wait right here. And the reason he done it was for the glory of God. The reason he done it was to see the power of God. Listen, folks, tonight the world still needs to see the power of God. They need to see people raised from a dead state of sin. They need to see people, delivered and lifted and brought up and out and put in a ship of Zion and to be able to do things that they could never do, to leave the smoking and the drinking and the drugs and anything else that they're doing, the lying, the cheating and all these things. Listen, folks, some people say, I can't quit this and I can't quit that. Listen, Jesus wouldn't be anything if he couldn't deliver people tonight. But he's got power in heaven and earth to deliver you and to bring you up and out. Come forth, Lazarus. Come forth. I want to bless you, Lazarus. And he done it. Praise God. And people believed. Do you want to see your neighbors believe? Do you want to see your friends believe? Do you want to see the people on the job believe? Tonight they need to see deliverance. They need to see power like they've never seen before, praise God. And the Lord's able to do it, and he'll do it for you. But you got to respond to the call, praise God. Lazarus, come forth. And then he come up out of there all bound and tied, and the Lord said, loose him. I'm going to tell you, the Lord wants to loose everybody of everything. He wants people to be free, praise God, have power and authority, be able to stomp the devil on the head and go about with victory, peace, and joy, praise the Lord. That's what he wants tonight. Lazarus, come forth. If you're dead tonight, the Lord wants to deliver you. He wants to do something that nobody else can do for you. Praise God. I've watched people. There's a person, a wife, in a place, and I was talking to her husband one time. Oh, it's been a number of years ago now. And she was bound by smoking. And he told me, he said, Carl, she cannot give it up. Nothing she tries will work. And I had sympathy and I thought about it. I knew her. I didn't know her well. Been to their house some. Been around them some. Him a lot more than her, him, and the children. But knew her a little bit. And he said, she can't quit. She's tried everything and she can't stop. I said, have you ever heard any testimonies of people that's been delivered by the power of God from cigarettes? Yeah. I said, that's what you need to tell her. Let's not worry about the patches. Let's not worry about the shots or whatever. Let's not worry about this and this. Let's tell her about Jesus. He wasn't saved. But the bottom line is, sometimes God, if he can get the word and the demonstration or the information to a person of what he's done, praise God, he had delivered thousands upon thousands of people of cigarettes and drugs and alcohol. It's no problem. Praise God when he says it, Lazarus, come forth. Listen, when you come up out of that tomb that's dead, you can be delivered by the power right then, and you don't have to go back and do it anymore, praise God. I said, tell her. Now, I don't know what he did and didn't do, and I hadn't asked lately if she's still smoking, but I know what God can do, and I know the testimonies help people. They need to hear your testimony. They need to know that God is alive and well. Jesus is on the right hand and in the delivering business, and he wants to give you what you need, and that's why you're here tonight. Come unto me. Come unto me, I want to bless you. All right, let's go to Luke 14. Let's wrap her up here. Luke 14 and 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he that shall eat of the bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come. For all things are now ready. For all things are now ready. Listen, folks, all things is ready tonight. What's the greatest meal you've ever eaten? In traveling, I've been privileged to eat in restaurants from coast to coast and north and south. I've eaten steak houses, fish houses, so to speak. I've had Chinese food and American food and good food, and some of it not so good. But I have been privileged to have, and I'm talking about restaurants now, and I've been privileged. One of the greatest steak places to me in the whole country is in Oklahoma City called Cattleman's Steakhouse. I ain't found a steakhouse yet can beat it. If you want to come by, give me a call. We'll go down there. I like to have people go to Cattleman's. Brother Philip and Sister Rosie, my brother and I, and Debbie and the children, we've been down there eating. Molly and Paige and I have been there. And different saints go there. It has a wonderful, wonderful steak. But you can go to the saints' all-day meetings. And they'll lay out a deal of food for you. And there is one particular sister in Shawnee that when we was having the potluck when I was there, and she had a chicken deal that she made. She had gravy. She got chicken breasts, and I don't know if she just baked them, some of them, just what. But anyway, she ended up putting them in the gravy. And then we had plenty of potatoes and had all these other things to go with it. And I'm going to tell you, I still lick my lips thinking about that. It is good. No, it's flat delicious. Forget the good. It's delicious. There's other things. Molly can make things. And other saints, her mother was quite a cook. Well, not so much anymore. She got too old. She can't cook very much. But the bottom line, there are sisters out there. And the saints, they can make wonderful, scrumptious food for you and I to eat. And they can line it out. And then you got the dessert table. And it's a thrill when somebody come by and has a chocolate cake and say, well, Brother Carl, I like chocolate, but I was thinking about you when I made that. And here it is. And we look at it, and we partake of it. We say, that's sure good. But listen, folks, there's something better than that. Amen. There is a food from God Almighty. And I'm going to tell you, He's got steaks that beats anything I've ever had. He's got chicken that beats anything I've ever had. Mashed potatoes and gravy and corn and green beans, all that. He's got the most luscious, if you want to say, chocolate cakes in the world. It is food for the soul. It is food that will bless you. It is something that I was sitting down here a while back. And it, my favorite scripture, I fixed to sit down and read some scripture up. And my favorite scripture come to mind. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And right there it said, my help. And this, if I remember right, was... well, it was in 2020. I don't remember just when, but it was in 2020, maybe in the summer of 2020. But anyway, the thought, my help. There was a nice steak. I've read that scripture. I've written that in cards. I've sent it to people. I've preached off of it down through the years. But it just zeroed in and opened my mind to something I'd never seen. Listen, folks, the Word of God is not just any kind of book. Listen, a heavenly experience is not just any kind of experience. It is the greatest experience anybody can ever have tonight, praise God. It'll feed you, it'll bless you, it'll uplift you. In the middle of the night, I don't sleep much anymore at times. I'm up and down. Sometimes I most generally don't get to sleep till sometime 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I got to spend time in the bathtub to get my legs to calm down enough where I can even get to rest. But I'm going to tell you what. Jesus is there any time, day or night. I've been praying in the night, early morning hours. I've been down or looking to God and praying and begging and saying, Lord, have mercy. I read the Bible. I'll study. It may be Saturday night. Saturday night, I get less sleep than any other night in the week, usually. But the blessings are there. If you want something that's better than ball games, if you want something that's better than card games, if you want something that is better than anything out there in the world, that you're so hooked up on or you like. Listen, young people, there's a lot of things out there, but this passes it all up, praise God. When He comes down, He starts feeding you. When He comes down, He starts blessing you. When He opens up, you can read the Bible. You can read scriptures out of the Bible hundreds and hundreds of times and look at it. And He can inspire you and give you something new and that you never thought about. And maybe you read it 1,000 times. Like I said, I read that over there in Psalms. I love those scriptures. That's one of my Old Testament favorite scriptures. But He inspired me with something new. My help. Your help. Cometh from the God Almighty. Look up. Look unto Him. Look to Him and ask Him, Lord, have mercy on me. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor. I want to feed you something good, praise God. Listen, He told the disciple, He said, I have food that you know nothing about. I have something good. I'm feasting on heavenly things. Listen, folks, this thing can get good. Forget the food. Just give me Jesus, praise God. Amen. Are you all awake out there? All right. All right, let's finish up in two places. Revelation 22 and 17. 22 and 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Are you thirsty tonight? Are you hungry? Have you ever been hungry? And the wife say, sweetheart, what do you want to eat? Well, let me see. What do I want to eat tonight? Well, I want some fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans. I want you to make some rolls for me. Just something like that. And you get to thinking about it, and you go, oh, that tastes so good, I ain't even got it in my mouth yet. That tastes so good. I'm going to tell you, He wants you to come. If you're hungry, He wants you to come. If you're athirst, He wants you to come. In John, He said there, He said if, let's see, how's that scripture go? He cried out there, what is it, 6th chapter of John, 7th chapter of John. He said there, let me find this here. And in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He's speaking of the Spirit here. But he stood and he cried, if any man thirst, are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Are you tired of all the mess that's out there in the world? Are you tired of the things that has given you trouble down through the years? You've wanted to live for God and never had. Listen, tonight is the best night in the world to get saved, praise God. Isaiah 55, and we'll quit. 55 and 1 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that had no money, come ye, buy, eat, come. Yea, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfied not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let his soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Oh, tonight, you're here and He's here. He wants to bless you tonight. No matter what your situation is, no matter what your age is, He wants to bless you. Let's stand, have a number.